بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. له ملك وله حمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها المسلمون, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, الرحمن الرحيم, مالك يوم الدين, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. Dear believers, we thank Allah for the special day of the week. We thank Allah for the best day of the week for the Muslims. We thank Allah for the guidance of the Quran. We thank Allah for the most human, excellent model, the most excellent human model, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer and the peace be on him. And we thank him for making us Muslims. Ameen. Dear family, my focus today is going to be Surah Al-Fatiha. This surah is the oft-repeated surah. This surah, you and I say so much that we really probably don't even pay attention to what we're saying. But we want to reflect on this surah. Every now and then it's good to go back to basics, so to speak. It's good to call or recall to our conscious mind just the power of this surah. Praise be to Allah. We know that Al-Fatiha translates the opening. Now, inshallah, in the second part of the khutbah, we'll make a couple connections. But also, I want to say to you all that in addition to Al-Fatiha being the opening, it has a couple other meanings. One of the meanings is keys, K-E-Y-S, keys. And another meaning that might escape us is victory. One of the meanings of Al-Fatiha is victory. And I think all of this is worth contemplating on. All of this is worth reflecting on, because we know that the Arabic language is rich. We know that the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is He and supreme above all things. And we know that whatever He put in there has purpose. It has meaning. Allah says of Himself in general, basically, I'll just get to the point, He don't waste time. This is not empty. This is not without purpose. Everything that Allah created in the skies and the earth are not without purpose. And sometimes we trivialize, we demean, we make less significant we take for granted the wonderful blessings of Allah, the amazement of Allah, the miracles of Allah. I'm not talking about 2,000-year-old miracles. The miracle that happened this morning, the miracle that happened last week. Yes, Allah is still in the miracle business. My point is, we take all of this for granted. So Allah tells us in the Quran, if He just wanted to waste time, He would be wasting time with those things nearer to Him. He don't have to come 60 billion light years or whatever it is to here down here on earth. He's got enough going up close to Him. Now you might say, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Allah sits on His throne. His knowledge is everywhere. We say He's everywhere, but you know, that's debatable. The scholars have discussed that, but that's not the focus today. That's why I'm saying it this way. Because Allah sits on His throne. Ayatul Kursi, right? In the Quran, Allah talks about being on his throne. And the management of the skies and the earth does not wear him out, does not make him tired, does not fatigue him wherever he is. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Back to Al-Fatiha. One of the first things we want to always keep in mind when we're dealing with commentary on the Quran, that according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran is the first to give commentary on itself. Put a pin in that. After the Quran, Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives commentary on the Quran, and then we can go on to the Sahaba and others. We can look at an Ibn Kathir or Mawduri radiallahu anhu. So the point is, let's stay with Al-Fatiha. What does Allah in the Quran say of Al-Fatiha? One of the things, again, this is actually introductory, I may in the future dig a little deeper into this. So consider this an introduction. Allah says that the Quran is the Al-Fatiha is the oft-repeated verses. You and I bear witness to that. We say Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of Salat. The first two rak'ah of every Salat, we're encouraged to add more Quran to Al-Fatiha, but we say Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of Salat, and we're taught without Al-Fatiha, the Salat is incomplete. We're taught this. So the oft-repeated verses, we recite Al-Fatiha on all other occasions. Some of us might recite Al-Fatiha before we eat or recite Al-Fatiha at opening a program, a meeting, a ta'lim, etc. But what else does Allah say? Allah says that Al-Fatiha is the mother of the book. Wow, the mother of the book. Now, this is poetic language, brothers and sisters. Allah doesn't mean this literally, but this suggests something to us. Mother, we're not going to get into the characteristics of the mother, but sometimes this phraseology of mother is a term or a phrase or an idea that means the essence of it. So Allah is saying that the Quran or Al-Fatiha is the essence of the book. Now there's another debate going on. See, I offer these things. You all should research this. You should study it. You should do more than just listen to the imam. This is just to whet the appetite. Part of the significance in learning the Quran is learning when certain surahs or certain verses were revealed. We know that we have the early Meccan period. We have the period in Medina. And then we have the period when we went back to Mecca. The point is, this is believed by most of the scholars to be an early Meccan surah. Why is this significant? Because al-Islam was not established yet. It wasn't established as a government. We weren't holding Jummah prayer. We hadn't made Hajj yet. We were not making the five daily prayers in congregation during this period. And during the first 13 years of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or his prophethood, pardon me, he's dealing with Tawheed. The uniqueness, the oneness, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing we have to teach. Isn't that what Rasulullah said, upon him be peace, when you go to a land, when he sent out his generals or sent out his ambassadors, he said the first thing you do is teach them Tawheed. Don't go in there with all that other stuff. Don't worry about if they're praying five times. Don't worry about this. Start with Tawheed. Because if you don't get that right, then the rest of it doesn't matter. Even if you are praying, what are you praying to? Who are you praying to? What is your understanding? What is your concept of Allah? Very important. Tawheed, this oneness, starts with Allah and permeates throughout his creation. Not only Allah is one, his creation is one. Allahu Akbar. Al-Fatiha is also called the cure. C-U-R-E. So that tells me that there's medicine in the Al-Fatiha. And this is the one that tends to blow my mind, dear family. The scholars have said that the other 113 surahs in the Quran are all tafsir on Al-Fatiha. Ooh, that makes you think. That makes you really think. We're talking over 6,600 verses, 113 surahs, and they're giving tafsir on Al-Fatiha. Allahu Akbar. Now, just real quick, and then I'm going to close out this part of the khutbah. What are some of the things that we're reflecting on? First of all, of course, there is the discussion. Is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim the first verse of Al-Fatiha? Or is it the intro like all the other 112? I had to think a minute. 112 surahs. Because we know that every surah in the Quran, but one, starts out Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And some of us have believed, even myself, believed that even though chapter 9, Surah Al-Tawbah, does not have Bismillah as a heading, I used to believe that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was in the body of the surah. That's not right, dear family. Any of us that thought that and believed that is not in that surah. There is another surah that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim exists, thus completing the 114 times. Praise be to Allah. And I don't remember the surah, but I'll tell you what it's in reference to. It's when Suleiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, sent the letter, I think it was to Sheba. He started out the letter, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You look it up and see what surah it is. I don't know off the top of my head. But again, brothers and sisters, I'm making the point, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Aren't we taught when we start our car, before we eat, before we do anything, started out, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or at least Bismillah. It's all right, you can leave off the merciful, but get the Bismillah in. Got to get that in. All right, so what else are we saying, dear family, when we look at this? We're talking about the significance. Now, some translate Bismillah in the name of Allah, and some translate with the name of Allah. I prefer with the name of Allah, and grammatically or in the Arabic, either one is correct. For those that say, you know, how dare you do that? Who gave you the right? Who gives you the license? Yes, in the Arabic, it can be bit, it can be with, in, maybe even by. I'm looking at Brother Hanny over there. Maybe I think by is one of the definitions too, our Arabic instructor. Again, the point here is, you can go in one's name, or you can go with one's name. I'd rather go with Allah's name. I want Allah with me. And we know that the only way that can happen is I have to be correct. I have to be right. He's not in the wrong. So we go with Allah's name and then we say, praise be to Allah, the Lord, keeper, sustainer, cherisher, guardian, evolver of all the worlds. This is the common translation. But we have translated it, praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, cherisher, sustainer, keeper, Lord of all the systems of knowledge. Now this is interesting, again, as a student of the Arabic, Alameen has the word ilm in it. I know it's commonly translated worlds, Alameen, knowledge. And we say that Allah is Lord of all the worlds, the animal world, the insect world, the human world, right? All of the worlds. But doesn't each one of those worlds have knowledge contained in it? Don't each one of those world, whether you're studying the scientific world, you're studying the anatomy of a gnat or whatever, whatever you're studying, there's volumes, there's systems of knowledge that mankind have written on these things. So this is important, brothers and sisters. Again, these are subtle things. It's no big deal if you want to say Lord of all the worlds. But don't get mad at me if I say Lord of all the systems of knowledge. I'm also correct. And we say the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And I know some people say, where do we get that from? Isn't it the gracious, the compassionate? Isn't it the beneficent, the merciful? Yes, it's all of that. Because literally it's the merciful, the merciful. But as a dawah strategy, we choose to add Redeemer on there so we can deal with the idea of anything other than Allah being the Redeemer. In this world, there's people that believe that prophets and saints and messengers, etc., are Redeemers. We understand that Allah is the only Redeemer. Allah is the only sovereign. So just by opening up Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and translating it with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, in an audience, especially a non-Muslim audience, I'm doing dawah. I'm correcting an idea and a concept in a few words, in a non-argumentative way, a non-invasive way. That's wisdom. And brothers and sisters, we can't do Islam or propagate Islam, I'll take that back, because do Islam may suggest that we want to have a different Islam. No, not suggesting that. There's one Islam. However, we have to have different strategies. We have to have different language. We have to have different expressions for the West than the rest of the world. Yes, praise be to Allah. We say, He's the merciful, the master of the day of judgment, or the only owner of the day of judgment. Right? But what does it say? Maliki Yawm Middin. Maliki Yawm Middin. All of us know that the Arabic word for religion is deen. So not only is he the master or the owner of the day of requital, the day of judgment, he is the master and the owner of religion. Master and the owner of the day of religion. What does that mean? Yes, Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu, he taught us that we're already in the day of religion. Meaning what? We are approaching the conclusion of things. What does that mean? Things are coming to a head. And some of us say, well, it's not final, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. But if you've been paying attention in our short lives, some of us have short lives, some of us have longer lives. If you've been paying attention, Allah has been exposing. Allah has been bringing to conclusion certain things. We saw Russia fall, the USSR. We thought that would be strong, the superpower, the second superpower. America, one superpower, USSR, second superpower. We didn't think communism there would ever end. And it fell. Some of the things in this nation, as strong as this nation has been, we've had Black Mondays. I think that's what they call it, when the stock market crashes. I think that's the right term. We've had the banking industry. We've had the housing industry. We've had all kind of things fail. Simply saying, brothers and sisters, that Allah is in charge of all of this. This is the day of religion. See, tragedy many times brings people closer to Allah, brings people closer to God. That's why I believe one of the reasons why Allah don't make our lives so comfortable is because we may forget Allah. He keeps us moaning and groaning and crying out and praying so that we'll stay connected. Because when things are going good, he talks about this in the Quran, there's times when some people, they cry out, they increase their supplication until Allah delivers them. Then after Allah delivers them, they attribute others or they share in the rule or share in the power and authority and the sovereignty of Allah. So, dear family, this is the day of religion. He's master, he's owner of the day of religion, as well as the day of judgment. We say, show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not the way of those who have earned your anger, nor the way of those who have gone astray. Dear family, many of the commentators take special care. You know, Sirat al-Mustaqim, we want the straight way. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight way. And the idea is that the straight way shoots outward. It goes ahead of us. This is the common idea. But further examination of this word, this Sirat, really implies an uprightness. So the Sirat al-Mustaqim really doesn't go this way, not out in front of you. It goes straight up. And the same term, I'm going to show you a comparison. Many of you are familiar with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where one of the companions came to him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, tell me something of the religion that I could ask of no one else." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Say, I believe in Allah, and thereafter be upright." Same word. It's the same idea. It's the same concept. Sirat al-Mustaqim. Concluding this part of the khutbah, I want you to know something, but I don't want you to be small-minded on what I'm about to say. There's a popular hadith that gives tafsir on Al-Fatiha, those that have earned the anger of Allah, that has been attributed to the Jews. And those who have gone astray have been attributed to the Christians. What my caution is for us, I don't want us to get self-righteous. I don't want us to look at it, all Jews are this, all Christians are that. Allah is angry with the Jews, and the Christians have lost it. They don't get it. They say Trinity. They say, that's not why I'm sharing this with you. I'm sharing this with you because I want to encourage us to study what they did that earned the anger of Allah. And what they did that caused them to go astray. Because just like this ayat and every other ayat, every other story in the Quran, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joseph, whether it's Jesus upon MVP, it is an instructive sign. It's teaching you something. It's on the pages, not just for nostalgia, not just for the books, to have it on the books or be able to recount history. It is telling you and giving you insight into human nature that is timeless, human nature that is eternal, human nature that is consistent. And what I mean by eternal, not that we're going to live forever, I mean that the same ways human beings operated 50,000 years ago is the same potential and possibilities, the same inclinations, the same nature that you and I have. That's what I'm saying. So Allah is revealing so that you don't fall into that trap. Not that we're exempt. Not that the Muslims can't earn the anger of Allah. Not that the Muslims can't go astray. If you're paying attention, you already know. Not all of us, but some of us definitely fit the category as Muslims of earning the anger of Allah. And yes, as Muslims, many of us have gone astray. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted this would happen. But he also predicted that we would get back on track and we would do the job that we're supposed to do. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we thank Allah, we praise Him. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolve of all the systems of knowledge. We bear witness there's no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates, and there's nothing like unto Him. To Him be the dominion of the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise, and He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad is His slave servant and His messenger. We pray the prayers and the peace be on Prophet Muhammad, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all. And we extend that peace to you, O Muslims, that you have Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. Ameen. Well, I'm about it, what follows of that salutation. Dear brothers and sisters, in concluding this khutbah, I talked about connections. Allah says in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the prophet, first of all, he is the unlettered prophet that you find mentioned in the previous scriptures, meaning Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Allah is revealing to us, in case nobody told you, Muhammad is the one that was foretold, that he was prophesied, that he was revealed about in the previous scripture. What is his dominant role? Liberator. Allah uses the words, he will break the yokes that weigh you down, that burden you on all levels. And those of us that know his life, we bear witness that he is the liberator. So that's the role. Again, my point here is, we understand that we are connected to the past. Allah says, Muhammad is not bringing you a new religion. Nothing new here being revealed. Allah says another place, what Muhammad is telling them is the very truth, and the people of the scripture know it to be the truth. I'm not quoting exactly, but the idea is they know. Allah said another place, if you have doubt about the revelation from time to time, consult the people of the book. So Allah says of the Quran that it is a confirmation, a continuation, and I'm going to stop right there. Biblical language concludes their revelation with the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, among many things, is a predictor or a projector or a prophesizer of things to come. Prophesizes the last days, what you're going to see in the last days, and the different signs of the last days. I think it's interesting that there in another place in the Quran, Allah leaves off with Revelation, where an individual is told to read the book. And the individual says, I cannot read the book. It is sealed. Oh, I think that's significant. Seven seals. Seven verses. This is not accidental. This is not coincidental. I'm trying to show us that Allah, to let you know you're on the right track, he picks up where you left off. In the very first revelation, as it is arranged, we know Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, is the first revelation, but the first revelation as it is arranged in the Quran is entitled The Opening. If it's sealed, it means it's closed. If it's sealed, it means you can't get into it. So how do you get into it? If the door is closed, if it's sealed, you need a key. We have seven keys. What did I tell you? Al-Fatiha also means keys. I'm making connections now, family. Al-Fatiha. We have the keys to open the seven seals. But also, isn't it interesting that when the man was told to read the book, I can't. I think he was unlettered too. So again, my point is, Muhammad comes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at him. He's called the Ummi Prophet. Look at him. Look at the first introduction to the deen, or the first introduction to his mission. He's commanded Iqra. When he's commanded Iqra, his reply to the angel Gabriel is the same reply that is in Revelation. Same reply that's in the Bible. I cannot read. I'm not of letters. But we know eventually he read. Brothers and sisters, this is important. I want us to understand and see that we are the completion, we are the culmination, we are the continuation of all of that knowledge, all of that truth that went before us. And Allah helps you and I get it. He wants it to be recognizable, so you'll get it. So you are to connect to that which came before you. So, dear family, we wanted to share this idea with you. The opening, the victory, the keys, that certain knowledge has been sealed, certain knowledge has been locked up, but Allah has given us the keys. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the finality of prophethood. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has established Allah's kingdom on earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the liberator. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the return of Christ. I know all these concepts take time to elaborate on, but you all are not new to this. Some of you are, but many of you have heard this, and you've heard me elaborate on these ideas. You've heard me bring the proofs, the dalil, the evidence for these things. We've made the connections by the grace of Allah. We force nothing on no one, but we offer it for your consideration. Yes, Al-Fatiha, brothers and sisters, don't sleep through Al-Fatiha. Reflect on Al-Fatiha. Reflect on it being the essence of the Quran. Reflect on it being the mother of the book. Reflect on it being commentary on the other, her 113th surah. Reflect on its meanings. And reflect on what Allah, how he left off one revelation and how he picked up another one. I just wanted you to draw your attention to that. And there's much more to be said on that, but we won't say it today. Again, perhaps we'll say it in the future. We thank Allah for this guidance. We thank Allah for this understanding and this commentary. And we thank Allah that he continues to illuminate the mind and enlighten his followers, enlighten his servants. Praise be to Allah. Keep Sister Malika Hubbard and her family in your dua. I think most of us, if not all of us, know what's going on there, tragically. Don't know all the circumstances, but a very young, I want to say 20-something year old, early 20s. Her daughter went into labor, gave birth to a 2-pound baby premature, and what happened from there, we don't know. Swelling on the brain, stroke, we don't know what happened. But Allah chose to call her back, call the daughter back. My understanding is the baby is doing fine, alhamdulillah. Matter of fact, Sister Malika and I talked this morning, and she named the baby today. And I know, for example, the first name is going to be Zahir. Think that's right. Did she call you?
Zakir.
I'm sorry. Shukran. And the middle name, Brother Hanny and I were helping her with that. So alhamdulillah, she needs our prayers minimally. I know some of you all have reached out and talked to her. But again, this is traumatic. None of us want to bury our children. But regardless of age, whenever the angel of death comes suddenly and unexpectedly, it throws us off balance. Even as believers, we know Allah is in control. We know death is part of life. But at the same time, it's unexpected. And that human element kicks in. So we thank Allah and we trust Allah solely. We tried to offer some comforting words But brothers and sisters, it just reminds us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to reflect on death often. Now that's a little different than being obsessed and preoccupied with death. Get the language right. You don't want to, you know, you want to keep living. But reflect our vulnerability. Look at the sign in the weather. I joke with the people, I say, wow, what a difference a day makes. But look how quickly the weather changes. Allah says, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of standing is going to be that quick and quicker, like a twinkling of an eye. But again, all of our lives, I know at the risk of sounding corny, how often do we tell each other we love each other? How often do you tell your family you love each other? Do you know that you're going to get back to your family today? You don't know. You think, you assume, it always goes this way. Dinner's always cooking when I get home, blah, blah, blah. You don't know. That's what these things we think. These are the things we have to think about. As Rasulullah said, and I'm done, live this life as though you're going to live forever. Make plans for the future. We know our plans are always followed by inshallah, but make the plans. But Allah also said, or the Prophet said, and live your life, though you're going to, like you're going to die in the next few minutes. That's how fragile, that's how vulnerable we are. But it also keeps you conscious and ready. Yeah, some of us have been in the military. Yeah, don't know when you're tripping out. Be ready. Be ready on a moment's note. Be ready when we give you the command. Give you the, and ain't no excuses except that, well, you know, I need a little bit. No. Where were you? And then there's consequences. Live like we're going to be here forever, but be prepared for Allah to take us today. Yes. Whenever I come and experience this and we do the janazas and all of that, I think on these things, dear family. Youth has nothing to do with it, as we see. Most of us in this room is older than the daughter that passed. And to my knowledge, she has at least two children. So now that falls on family, it falls on community. May Allah continue to bless us, dear family. May Allah forgive us our sins, have mercy on us, and guide us always. Ameen. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama sallaita Ibrahim wa Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama barakta Ibrahim wa Ibrahim bil alamin. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Ameen. Hakim as-salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.